Welcome back, everyone, to the Daily Fantasy Football Report. This is the Week 3 forecast. Follow your boy on Twitter, at Manny Perez, DFFR. Before we begin the forecast, I must get some PSAs out of the way. First, injury reports are a must. You must look at the injury reports and the practice reports every single day to follow a player's injury as well as their recovery from an injury. For example, Corey Coleman, broken hand, he is out. Doug Martin, out for 3 weeks. Jonathan Stewart, likely to miss a few weeks. Dante Moncrief, broken shoulder, he is out for 4 to 6 weeks. And the list goes on of people with nagging injuries that you must keep an eye on every day of the practice reports, and follow the local beat writers and see what they say about a player's injury. I mean, price and value is one thing, but if a player is healthy, that can make the difference in this week's lineup. For example, last week I set a pivot off Jonathan Stewart because of the injury. That being said, let us begin the Week 3 forecast. For starting with QBs, the interesting, before I just begin, is QB ownerships this year hasn't really been alarming. They've been kind of all been flatlined. For example, last week I said Cam Newton was the number one guy. He was about 10% owned. Guys like Rivers and Luck is going to be kind of chalky and everybody's going to go for them. Actually hasn't been the case. So going up in value for a quarterback that you think is going to have the biggest week, if people are only going to be owning him about 10% of the time, it is definitely worth sometimes spending the money to go up in quarterback. So that being said, there's not one person that jumps off the page that would have the best week. So I'm just going to give a list of guys that I think could have a big week. Starting with Aaron Rodgers. Do not give up on Aaron Rodgers, okay? It's no secret that Rodgers and Green Bay have been struggling on offense. Even with Jordy Nelson back in the lineup, it seems like there's been a slight adjustment. You have to remember, Jordy Nelson was one of the top receivers on the outside. Randall Cobb was one of the top slot receivers in the league. Last year, the injury to Jordy Nelson forced Randall Cobb to play on the outside. So now things are trying to get back to normal. So the struggle, they've been struggling, and it's been apparent. However, this could be the week, even though their history of the first 2 weeks hasn't shown so. This could be the week against Detroit, who's coughed up 4 touchdowns and 35 points in week one before another 2 scores and 16 points in week two. And last year, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers were still able to amount 606 yards, 4 touchdowns against the Lions over 2 games. So if he's going to have a bounce back game, this is it. Also, Philip Rivers. It seems like he makes this list every week, but his value is starting to get up there to reflect it. And what's odd here is no Keenan Allen, no Danny Woodhead, torn ACL, out for the year, no problem. Rivers shown that he's been able to spread the ball around efficiently over his career, and he did that to 4 touchdown passes on Sunday. And the best part is he's not throwing interceptions. He has 1 turnover or less in 11 of his last 12 games dating back to the 2015 season. Expect that to continue, even with the limited set of options against the Colts defense that gets 0 pass rush and has been in the bottom third in the league against the pass since the start of 2015. On the flip side, I like me some Andrew Luck. He did not practice today due to a sore shoulder. However, even though he struggled against the Broncos, who were able to get tons of pass rush, and Von Miller playing like the Super Bowl MVP, but who doesn't struggle against Denver? So I expect Luck to rebound against the Chargers, who have allowed the 6th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. And Luck also has 12 touchdown passes in his last 4 home games. Another guy I like is Carson Palmer. After Buffalo was torched by Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Jets for 374 yards in week two and were absolutely dominated. The Bills have been shredded for 298 yards per game through the air in their initial two games. So, with all the turmoil that's been going around in the organization, look for the Cardinals to put up a big game, even though it's a 1 o'clock game traveling to the East Coast. After Palmer absolutely destroyed the Buccaneers' pass defense for 308 yards and three scores, I trust the Palmer and the trio of receivers and David Johnson will be able to travel well and still put up a big game. My sleeper for the week is Marcus Mariota. The Raiders' pass defense has been the worst pass defense in football for the first 2 weeks, giving up huge fantasy performances to Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. So Marcus Mariota may have the same kind of luck as these guys have. And even though he doesn't have the same weapons, right now the Raiders, and what's interesting with them is they brought in a defense coordinator from Seattle and they signed Sean Smith to a big time contract, and their just defensive scheme just doesn't seem right. They're asking Sean Smith, who's a big physical corner, to play a lot of man and being on his own island, and that's not his game. People thought when the coordinator from Seattle came to Oakland that he was going to bring that Seattle style, that cover three style, which he hasn't. So if they don't fix their defensive problems this week, look for Mariota to have a big game as well. Quarterbacks that I'm avoiding this week, Andy Dalton, as mentioned before, going against the Broncos, they absolutely destroyed Andrew Luck, and Cam Newton struggled as well against at times against them. So I'm sitting Andy Dalton. I've been on the Jameis Winston bandwagon, but sit Jameis Winston. It is a really bad matchup against the Rams, who, even though they can't score, they have a really good defense. They held Russell Wilson to a little under 12 points, and Winston coming off a bad game against Arizona, going against another tough D, so I'm staying away. Another quarterback I'm staying away is Tyrod Taylor. Their team over there in Buffalo is just not built to throw 40 times a game. Last week was definitely more of the outlier, wherein they scored on big, big pass plays. So they couldn't get anything else done other than the big play. So sit Tyrod Taylor. Another one that I'm sitting is Kirk Cousins. There's a lot of things going against Cousins this week. Not only the rifts in the locker room, but against this Giants defense, which, as I've said before, the front office has spent a lot of money revamping them in the offseason, but they've been really good against the pass. Even though it's been Dak Prescott, but it's been Drew Brees last week as well, with a game that was slated to be over 53 points, I think was held under 40 for the game. My bold prediction is sit Matthew Stafford. You can read a bunch of articles and people say start him. I'm saying sit him. The Packers have had Stafford's number in the past, forcing him to post a weak 20 touchdown to 17 interception ratio while losing 8 of his 11 meetings with the Packers. This year, Green Bay has been very solid against the pass. And even though they had trouble containing Stephon Diggs, Sam Shields potentially is back for week three to go along with Morgan Burnett and Clinton Dix. So the Packers should be able to keep Marvin Jones and Golden Tate from getting loose on too many big plays. So if Detroit struggles to run the ball, and I foresee that'd be a big problem with Amir Abdullah out, Theo Riddick is just not efficient, it might be a little tough to throw through the air because this is what the Packers do. Now, moving on to running backs. Of course, I have to talk about Mr. Melvin Gordon. San Diego, hyped up Melvin Gordon, and they were so high on him this year, and he has flashed the brilliance that he was in college when he was over at Wisconsin. So with no Danny Woodhead, torn ACL, a lot of touches going Melvin Gordon's way going forward. None of the timeshare or hurry-up offense with Danny Woodhead on the field. And on the best part is he's got a favorable matchup this week. The Colts have allowed 45 points to running backs in week one, and then followed by week two, allowing 14 to CJ Anderson. So Gordon might be the best back out of all of them. CJ Anderson's probably been the number two back, but Melvin Gordon is having a great season so far. So I don't see that. I don't see that stopping anytime soon. He's got 177 yards and 41 touches. So with the volume he's going to get, he could be post the best day for the running back this week. Another guy that I've watched and was skeptical in the beginning of the season, now I'm bought in, is DeMarco Murray. As we enter week three, he is dominating that workload distribution. And it seems that the Titans are definitely centered their offense to DeMarco Murray and featuring him not only in the run, but in the pass as well. He's gotten 37 of the 54 touches that have been accrued by him and Derrick Henry. And the best part is he's received the critical red zone opportunities. Everybody was worried that Derrick Henry, the rookie from Alabama, was going to be brought in to be the red zone and goal line back. But it seems that the Titans are committed to DeMarco Murray. So health has always been his issue. And as long as he stays healthy, going against the Raiders defense that's been gashed for over 500 total yards in each of their first two games, you know, they just gave up 139 yards and a touchdown to Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. So they're yielding about 113.5 yards per game on the ground with the offense that is now centered around DeMarco Murray. I like me some DeMarco this week. As I've mentioned before, last week, and it's going to seem like a trend almost going forward, is David Johnson could be the best running back in football. You can't go wrong picking him. And then CJ Anderson is right there, right behind him. Also a good matchup, so you could feel safe picking him. A guy that I like, last week as my bounce back, I like this week as well, is some Zeke Elliott, because Dallas is not going to win throwing 40 times a game. So they've did a better job distributing their pass to run ratio this past week. So I'm looking for Ezekiel Elliott to have another good game against Chicago at Dallas based on this game flow. I tweeted this earlier. I don't know why my gut is saying the contrarian pick is LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy is by far one of the most talented backs with Rex Ryan, who is number one rushing attempts last year. They fire Greg Roman. They bring the running backs coach, Anthony Lynn, to be the offensive coordinator. I would have to think, common sense says, they're going to have to get LeSean McCoy going. They can't survive throwing 40 times and throwing the ball only deep with Tyrod Taylor. They have to get LeSean McCoy going if they're going to win some games, and especially against the Cardinals. So that's my contrarian pick. If I had to choose a sleeper, now, like I said before, with FanDuel, with the different lineups, the sleeper is definitely going to be Tevin Coleman. He was supposed to be their main back last year before he got hurt. And this year, they've committed back to Tevin Coleman. And last week, he was featured more into the offense, and through two games, he's got 188 total yards on just 27 touches to go along with his rushing touchdown in week two. So if he could continue to get the ball 12 to 15 touches per game, which I don't see why not, going against the Saints this week, there's a good chance he can carve out another 80 total yards with a chance to definitely punch it in for a touchdown. My sits for running back is definitely Todd Gurley. It pains me to say because he's arguably the most talented running back in the league. However, this is a quarterback league. You have to show you have an average, at best, you have to have a decent to average quarterback in order to be successful. With Case Keenum, and I know they took more chances down the field, they look very vanilla week one. If their quarterback play doesn't improve, then absolutely load up 8 to 9 people in the box to stop this guy. And it pains me. It pains me because he's one of the best running backs, but the matchup is also not the best as well. And compound that with him only getting 2.7 yards per carry. It's just painful, but definitely I have to say sit Todd Gurley. The other running back I'm also sitting is Carlos Hyde. After he rushed for 88 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Rams, there was definitely an overreaction with some in the fantasy community. However, he had a chance going against Carolina, and he just did not show up. He just managed only 34 yards on 14 attempts, which is 2.4 yards per carry. The Seahawks have yielded just 64 yards per game and 1 rushing touchdown this season. And they just faced Todd Gurley this past Sunday. So sit Carlos Hyde. Going now into wide receivers, the number one wide receiver that could have a standout game is Odell Beckham Jr. Even though cornerback Josh Norman got a big-time contract in Washington, has been Pro Football Focus's top cornerback, I'm sorry, you can't get $15 million to cover one side of the field. It just doesn't work that way. It worked in Carolina when he wasn't getting paid that much, but $15 million a year, if the Redskins don't shadow Odell Beckham Jr., absolutely, if I'm the Giants, I'm lining up Odell Beckham Jr. against Breshad Breeland every time. But, last year he did post 76 yards and a score going against Norman before the whole scuffle took place. So regardless, he can have the best game by far of any receiver. The two receivers I like as a pair of teammates is Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker. For their prices, absolutely start them. I was high on Landry going into the season, and I was high on him last week just because you know he's going to get double-digit targets. And with Devontae Parker coming back, things did not change. Landry got 10 catches and 137 yards in their loss against the Patriots. And going against the Browns this week, who have allowed an average of almost 30 fantasy points per game to wideouts in the first 2 weeks, don't be afraid to look at Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker should continue to get more comfortable this week in the offense after being slowed down by a hamstring injury in the preseason. It's just a great matchup going against a mediocre, at best, pass defense. And like I said before, last week showed that they're both able to get their targets, so having one another should help them this week as well. Another wideout I like is the ageless wonder, Larry Fitzgerald. Regardless of age or talent around him, he's just continued to produce week in and week out. He already has 3 touchdowns this season, and he could build on that against a matchup against the Bills defense that looked overmatched by the Jets. So Arizona's arguably has the best or second best receiving core in football. I like Larry Fitzgerald as well. Another receiver I like to repeat performer is Travis Benjamin. Even though there's no Keenan Allen, we knew Travis Benjamin would get more of the targets, and he's looked absolutely solid. And after Danny Woodhead tore his ACL, he was leaned on even more, and he got all 6 of his targets for 115 yards and 2 scores against the Jags pass defense, who also their defense is also struggling after paying some money this offseason as well. But Benjamin should deliver and should produce among these group of receivers. I was worried originally about Travis Benjamin and about his ownership percentage, but what's kind of crazy is it seems like not just him, but a trend almost, and I have to look at it more closely, is going into the week, everybody was high on him. And then the next week on a player, they're off. And I just don't understand. I understand, you know, everybody's afraid of ownership, but it seems like everybody's so afraid, everybody then gets put off. So I would definitely not be hesitant to put Travis Benjamin in your lineup this week. And who knows, maybe we won't see that as this week as last week, with the ownership may go down because everybody's afraid to play him. The three-peat performance, perhaps? Mike Wallace? Maybe? He appears to be Flacco's favorite target on that Baltimore pass attack after 2 weeks. So we already know what he is. I mean, he's a speedy guy that stretches the defense, but he may be a perfect fit for that offense with Mark Trestman. It's a nice option to have against the Jags defense that have allowed the fifth most fantasy points to a wideout. So the three-peat performance, we'll see. A couple sleepers that I like this week, you're going to hear a lot about, is Philip Dorsett. Dante Moncrief is going to be out. So even though the Colts offense has struggled as a whole on the road, they're coming back home. And T.Y. Hilton also has his own injury problems. And look for Jason Verrett, who blanketed Allen Robinson last week and is looking like one of the best young shutdown corners in the league. Dorsett is definitely a candidate for double-digit targets in a game that is scheduled to be the second biggest over-under in the week. Another sleeper I like this week, I liked last week, Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard on NFL.com, I believe he was ranked the seventh best slot receiver in the league right now, and he's just a rookie, and this is only his third game. So it's crazy that he already ranks 19th in fantasy points amongst wide receivers. He's scored more points so far than Odell Beckham Jr. Even though I don't see that trend to continue, he is looking like one of the best slot receivers. It's kind of like amazing to try to watch this guy, rookie year coming from Oklahoma, going against the Redskins defense that struggled this year. And if he's going to play the slot, I love that matchup. And I do like some Sterling Shepard this week. The wide receivers I'm sitting, Demaryius Thomas. You have to give him some credit. He's been playing through a debilitating hip injury in week two, but I can't go. I can't get on board with him this week going against the Bengals defense that shut down Antonio Brown. I'm sure the weather had some effect to it. I just feel that Demaryius Thomas is just one bad tackle away from coming out of that game for his hip, so I'm gonna have to pass on him. Another wide receiver I'm going to pass on is Golden Tate. I've preached week one, I loved Marvin Jones this year. I said Marvin Jones excels in short to intermediate routes and over the middle. So that being said, Marvin Jones looks like Stafford's number one choice. I mentioned earlier that Green Bay has Matthew Stafford's number. They're surprisingly good against the pass. I would stay away from Golden Tate. On the flip side, I did mention him earlier, I'm sitting Randall Cobb. The offense has struggled. I just don't understand. This guy 2 years ago was the best receiver on the team, the best slot receiver in the league. And the Lions have held him to fewer than 60 receiving yards in 5 of 8 career meetings. I'm going based off history. Sit Randall Cobb. Tight ends, always a crapshoot. Obviously, Greg Olsen is always going to be there as the safe choice. This guy I liked last week, I like him again this week, is Delanie Walker. Just because I beat it to death that I love the matchup going against Oakland's pass defense. I like me some Marcus Mariota in this game. Oakland's pass defense have been just absolutely torched for a little over 800 yards and 7 touchdowns by the Saints and the Falcons. And even though the Titans don't have the weapons and may not have the quarterback, they do have the tight end, and I do like the matchup. So I love me some Delanie Walker. Some guys that I also like that, you know, if you pick them, I can't get mad at you, is Dennis Pitta. Dennis Pitta has gotten the most targets than any other receiver on the Baltimore Ravens, which is kind of strange. He got 12 targets last weekend from Flacco. He's got a good favorable matchup against the Jaguars. I wouldn't be surprised if Dennis Pitta has a good game as well. The other tight end is the outlaw, Jesse James, averaging 7.5 yards per catch. He is the clear passing tight end on that team. He is 6'7", 260 pounds. He's third on the team in targets. Clearly, he has the trust of Ben Roethlisberger. So that being said, definitely a value pick if you want to start the outlaw. So that about wraps up the week 3 forecast. Good luck this week and any of your tournaments and all your cash games. Once again, follow me on Twitter at Manny Perez, DFFR. Peace.